The Big Story from the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
You're watching The Big Story with Haryanto Diman. I'm Olivia Kuei, coming to you live from the Straits Times newsroom. Experts have said that the next 2 weeks are crucial in our coronavirus battle as we enter a new phase of community transmission. Now we're pleased to welcome Professor Teo Ye King. He's the Dean of the Saw Swee Hock School of Public Health at the National University of Singapore. Prof Teo, welcome. Professor, we're seeing more unlinked cases. Can you explain to us why such cases are a particular concern? Is it because it further illustrates that the virus is entrenched in the community?
So unlinked cases refer to the situation where we have a number of people who are infected, but we are unable to establish where they got the infection from, where they were likely to have been exposed. Mm-hmm. This means they could have been exposed in their day-to-day routine, getting to work from home and back, where they ate their meals, or the places they have been to, say for shopping or for sports. So one way to think about this is the following, even though I have to emphasize it's not exactly correct. Let's suppose we have 50 unlinked cases today. It actually means that there may be at least 50 places out in the community that a person may be exposed, may be infected from. As I said, it's not exactly correct, but I hope this gives people a way to think about why the government is strongly advising people to stay home unless absolutely necessary and to think about working from home. Now, compare this to a situation where all 50 cases are actually linked within a single cluster that we find out from contact tracing. This means there's actually a point source that we can rely on active contact tracing, find out who are the other exposed people, isolate and quarantine them early to contain further spread as early as possible. So having more cases that are unlinked is a very worrying sign that suggests that there are more places in the community that are seeding infections that we need to be thinking about.
Now, Prof, let's focus on the measures now that Singapore has implemented, specifically social distancing practices. Now, despite the government's continued calls for people to stay at home, people are still going out. Is it because they don't understand the full efficacy of social distancing, or that they're aware of it, but they still choose to run the risk anyway?
So this is common human behavior. I think it's very common for people to think that I will not be that unlucky one. And this is very common when it comes to perception of health risk. And this is really why the government is working very hard, putting in place increasingly stringent measures and eventually turning to legal enforcement to get people to maintain the necessary safe distance in public spaces and to encourage people to work from home, take up telecommuting, really to minimize going out and being exposed to the community spaces that I talked about earlier on when there are unlinked cases. That is the reason why we really need to think about minimizing outdoor movement unless absolutely necessary.
Well, we've seen many comments asking why there are not any social distancing measures on public transport. Professor Teo, is it feasible? How do we keep safe while commuting, especially during peak hours?
So let's be practical. In spaces such as buses and MRT trains, trying to keep a safe distance basically means every bus or every train carriage can only carry a fixed and perhaps a small number of passengers. The question really is this possible? Mm-hmm. Well, it can be achieved if the majority of the people are already staying at home or working from home. Otherwise, we try to find ways to minimize human traffic at each point in time on public transportation networks. You can try staggering work hours, and this is again coming back. Employers need to take up that responsibility, encourage staff to go for staggered working hours, coming in earlier or later, equally clocking out earlier or later. Even going for lunches, can they now choose earlier timings or slightly later timings, or perhaps even bringing lunch from home? Because this will minimize human traffic in public spaces. But I think the reality is that even when we try to practice staggering work hours, there will still be human people bunching and in crowding. Now, if there is absolutely no choice that one has to go on public transportation, one has to go out, again, getting people to practice personal hygiene is extremely important. What does that mean? It means When you want to sneeze or cough, cover your mouth and your nose. Wash your hands regularly with soap and water. Simple things like this can minimize personal risk as well as the risk to others as well.
Now, Prof, the government has been stressing that we should stay at home. Now, do you think Singapore should implement a lockdown, you know, to make it official, so to speak?
The idea of a lockdown is firstly not off the table. Given the signs that we are seeing, it may not actually be a bad idea to consider implementing what I would call a reboot. You call it a lockdown, I call it a reboot. And this means getting people to stay home, mandating it perhaps for the majority of time, except for essential functions. Do this for 2 to 3 weeks, allow community transmission chains to be broken. More importantly, allow our healthcare system to breathe and to recover. Bear in mind, though, this means that people will be staying indoors and interacting with the family unit more. It doesn't mean that we will completely see zero transmission after the lockdown, because we are just shifting the transmission dynamics from the community now to the households. But households will be much more manageable. We will be able to contain the outbreak better. There's often the mistaken belief that a lockdown will be the magic bullet to solve everything. And that's why the public has been calling for Singapore to be locked down. How we implement a lockdown or a reboot is just as important.
Well, we're not in a lockdown or a reboot yet. Most malls and restaurants remain open, but on the other hand, we've been told to stay at home, and that sounds like a mixed message. So, Professor Chiu, if you had a message for Singaporeans, what would that be?
I don't actually think there is a mixed message, because the lockdown allows people to still go to perform the most essential functions, such as getting their groceries, getting their medical supplies. Some work require people to go on. The moment you have a classical complete lockdown where transportation networks are closed, people have to stay indoors, that is going to create additional problems if the planning for the lockdown is not done properly. The message that I have really would be stay at home unless you're going out for a run, a walk, or a cycle to get your daily exercise. Stay at home unless you need to get your groceries or other essential goods. And even so, don't take it as a family outing, but instead perhaps just have one or two people in the household go out to get the necessary supplies. Consider working from home if possible. The Manpower Ministry has already advocated this very firmly, and hopefully this encourages employers to really think about allowing telecommuting as much as possible. And finally, what I mentioned earlier, simple personal hygiene, covering mouth and nose when you have to sneeze or cough, washing hands often with soap and water, taking your temperature twice a day, wear a mask if you're having a temperature or you don't feel well, and see a doctor as early as possible. If you're not feeling well, stay away from family members and friends, especially the elderly, until you are clear that you have fully recovered. That's my best advice that I can give.
Well, it is definitely advice that we should take. It's been a pleasure, Professor Teo. Thank you so much for your insight.
Thank you.